This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you, Lynn, for the news. My name is Rich Bradbury, and it is BFM Enterprise Biz Bytes in the studio with
Frida Liu
and Lynn Yubaraj.
A few stories lined up for you today. We're going to be starting off in a couple of minutes with something about the venture. Frida, I know you can go into depth about that. Are you one of the judges this year?
Yes, I was also the judge for last year.
Okay, so why don't you just kick us off and tell us about this?
Kick us off? Okay.
Yeah.
So this is the second year that they're organizing this in Malaysia, fourth year globally. So what happens with the venture? Is they're encouraging social enterprises to take part in this competition for this pot of $1 million, which has gone up in value.
$1 million?
In terms of, you know, if you do the exchange rate and all that. So, and so the winner last year he was in the pot, right?
He ran off.
He won $400,000. So that's a major prize. We went to LA for the finals. Each country has its own winner. 29 countries participated. It was really exciting. And, you know, and the winner was from Thailand.
Mm.
So this year, what's different is that for companies to participate, they had to be earning revenues of 1.5 million ringgit and below. That was for last year. So this year, companies whose revenues are $1.5 million.
Oh.
Right. So we're talking about bigger,
significant difference.
There are a lot of great social enterprises who are making good money that can participate. And what, you know, and it's great to be able to get that kind of additional funding if they want to expand, but also that global network as well. So of course we had the launch last week, and we're encouraging entries, and we're hoping that and the closing date for the entry is October 30th.
Okay.
But if you just go online, do a search, the venture, you'll be able to, you know, participate.
I mean, I've got some clips that I want to play for some of the potential people who might be taking part in it. But what kind of, are they looking for specific types of
nope.
Nothing at all?
Nothing. Of course, you know, so long as you're very clear about what your mission is all about, how your scalability and sustainability, they want to be able to see that. But I was just also sharing at the press conference last week, why Thailand won was that he was very good at showing the macro problem,
right,
and then zoning in on the micro problem and then showing the success, because she talked about a particular woman whose life has changed because of, you know, his coming up with this rice, hybrid rice.
Right.
And this farmer has now is now able to earn more money. Her three kids have left working for the factory and joined her again because they're now earning more money on the farm. So you could see the issue in Thailand is that even though Thailand's the largest rice producer in the world, the farmers are not paid as well as those in Myanmar and Vietnam.
Mm.
So that was the macro problem. And then how he's come up with this hybrid rice that could change the situation around. So that was a very good story. So I think that's what people are looking for. It may not be a solution that can solve the world problems, but if you can showcase how you're able to change the community you're
right,
in.
Right, yeah. Right. Okay, we've got a clip here. It's about a minute long of some of the potential participants for this year. Have a quick listen and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. Don't go anywhere.
Hi, my name is Tan Yi Beng. I'm 24. I'm a project coordinator for DeepMind Innovations called DeepMind Learning. It's an online learning virtual platform for the visually impaired students. We recruit and we train visually impaired and other disabilities graduates as a coach to coach the visually impaired students, and so that they can study even without the braille books.
Hi, my name is Fei Lim. I'm from the Rojak Project. The Rojak Project is a social impact by TRP Creatives that supports Malaysian unity through creativity.
Hi, I'm Nisha.
Hi, I'm Anissa.
And we're from Ecocentric Transitions. So we work with communities and school groups on raising awareness on environmental impact and environmental education.
Hi, my name is KK. So I'm the ambassador of People Novo. So what do? We are actually connecting people who have stuff to give away and also people who want to take the stuff.
Hi, my name is Ray. We are our social enterprise named Delicia. Basically, what we do is we provide catering services on behalf of urban poor family and also especially housewife and also single mother. Basically, they are the one who cook and we help them to market their food and also their services.
So quite a nice mixed bag there, all kinds of things coming forward.
So we hope to get lots of entries. October 30th is the deadline.
Mm. Right, I've got a story now that where there's a problem, there's a solution.
Some kind of solution.
just a bit of a silly story, but it really made me laugh this morning when I was reading it. So the headline is, a new Japanese robot dog sniffs out smelly feet.
That's a headline.
How can I not click on that link and find out more about it? So I'll just read you a little bit of the copy, and it's, do your feet smell bad? Just a little or absolutely awful? If you don't dare to ask a friend, one Japanese startup might have the answer with a new robot dog that will sniff your feet and give you a pitiless, honest verdict, even fainting if the stink is especially strong. So apparently in Japan, malodorous feet can be socially awkward because obviously you have to take off your shoes as you're going in and out of offices and as homes, in fact. So there's a common nickname for young girls, and it's a Hana-chan, and it's a play on the Japanese word for nose, and this is what they've called this little robot dog, who will bark if she detects moderately whiffy toes, but will keel over if the pong is particularly pungent. It's a 15-centimeter long dog. It has an odor detection sensor for a nose, and it will spray air freshener to resolve the situation if the aroma is unbearable. Now, I mean,
it's really cute.
It's very cute. Mm-hmm. And the reason this all came about is because there was this guy who, the guy who invented it, his daughter actually said his feet were smelly. But he didn't know how bad his feet were smelling, and he didn't want to ask anybody because, obviously, as you know,
can you smell my feet?
It's not the kind of thing you say to your friends, is it? Or even your friends or your colleagues. So he invented this cute robot, and it's been developed by Konica Minolta, and they are planning to sell it early next year at a price. This is the thing, right? Mm-hmm. A price tag of 3,894 ringgit. For essentially a thing that will tell you your feet stink. I could pay Arvin 50 ringgit a month, right, and say, dude, just help me out, right? You know, and he'd
it's going to cost a lot more than 50 bucks.
A month.
You'd have to buy me insurance and stuff. So.
50 ringgit a whiff.
I would not expect you to come, you know, and sniff my feet. Uh-huh. I'd just be like, can you smell them from over there?
From afar, yeah. If I can't smell anything, then it's,
that's enough,
I guess it's
right?
fine.
That's enough.
Maybe keels over.
Right, at least he's got air freshener somewhere nearby. Great little story. It's a bit of fun. But when we come back, you've got a story about something called the dolphin attack, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. This is quite serious. It's not.
It sounds cute, but it's not.
It's actually something quite serious. Okay. We're going to take a very short break. We've got some Kings of Leon up next. It is The Bucket here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. I'm Rich Bradbury with
Arvind Yuvaraj.
Frida Liu.
Do tweet us if your feet do smell. You can get us at BFM Radio or you can get us on WhatsApp 01878988899. Now, as we know, digital assistants are the latest trend in the world of technology. Mm-hmm. Arvind is going to share something with us about dolphin attacks. It sounds wonderful. It sounds all very, you know, very cute. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What was the name of that TV show with the dolphin in? Do you remember that?
Flipper.
There we go. Mm-hmm. Tell me what this issue is then.
Yeah. So, like you said, we have Google Assistant, and then there's Amazon's Alexa, there's Siri, there's Cortana, and they all they're gaining popularity because people use them as assistants now for their daily lives and stuff.
Right.
So, what a group of researchers have done is they test ways that these things can be vulnerable and how they can be attacked, and they figured out something called a dolphin attack, where because the assistant relies on your personal data on your personal data to give you a better experience, how you can use that to send voice commands to the assistant and then get access into your phone. So it's like a loophole where the assistant is like an open doorway into your smart gadgets and devices.
Oh.
Mm. And the dolphin attack is because they found a way where if a hacker wanted to, they could use an audio sample that's below human hearing to get into the voice assistant.
Ultrasonic. That's why they've called it the dolphin.
The dolphin, So it has a cute name, but then it's kind of dangerous also.
So by you, sorry, free to go on.
No, I'm just thinking, right? The work that we do, we're available on podcasts.
Yeah.
Right? You know, so it's so, and that's why I haven't used any of these things with voice recognition.
Because, I mean, if you were so inclined, you could embed anything with these ultrasonic sounds, I suppose. And I don't know whether most normal kind of everyday speakers would broadcast in ultrasound, but... You know, I don't see. Yeah, they would, wouldn't they?
Yeah,
of course.
No, I mean, but coming back to like even the podcast thing, that will be a threat once Adobe's Voco starts
to
be used. You know, when they can just use your voice, like a sample of your voice, and then they can use the keyboard to like type in whatever they want, and then use it against your own assistant. So, how will the assistant know if it's you or if it's just like a PC generated thing, like a computer generated thing?
I mean, the amount of times we've said Elon Musk is right. I mean, the thing is, Frida, when we were looking at Voco and stuff, I mean, I was listening to a podcast on it. What was it? It wasn't This American Life. It was Radiolab. And they'd kind of gone over to the Adobe Labs and they tried it out and they'd spent... what they'd done is I think they'd put something like 4 hours worth of audio into this thing. And the stuff that it can do is incredible. You know, you literally would not have said these words and yet they type it out and it sounds just like you. With just a tiny little bit of, oh, that sounds like maybe Frida's feeling a bit slow today or Rich is feeling a bit slow today. You know, but it was passable, absolutely passable. Terrifying.
And that's new. That's like the beta stage.
Version.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So basically this, the Dolphin attack, what they say is that if they can gain access into your private data, then they can open websites and they can even install like malicious applications on your phone. Basically the way it works is it could translate like normal human voice commands into frequencies that are way too high for humans to hear. So what they've done is they use frequencies that are more than 20,000 hertz, which is inaudible for humans but audible for smartphones because obviously they can pick it up. And then to play these frequencies, the program needed just very simple things like a smartphone, an amplifier, an ultrasonic transducer and a battery.
Okay, should we be worried about this?
No, that's what the thing is. So,
okay.
Yeah. So what they've said is these researchers, they their job is to look for holes in the applications and where they're
ethical
not safe.
Ethical hackers.
Ethical hackers. But they say that for this to work, it's not that scary because the preconditions that are needed for it to work is you need a transmitter that is at least 5 or 6 feet of proximity that needs and it needs a quiet place to work to blast these the 20,000 hertz higher than 20,000 hertz and the smartphone also has to be unlocked. Most of us lock our smartphone, so any kind of locking mechanism will block the phone to hackers. And then
find a way.
Yeah, and then if you need access to any of your digital payments, then it would need like a two-step verification, which is already like it just blocks it completely.
Okay.
Yeah. The only case where it would be dangerous is if you've given complete access of your digital assistant to all your other tasks. So if you give, like, let's say Siri access to do anything that you need on the smartphone, if it has its hands in every one of your applications, then it's a risk, which is why they're saying that you shouldn't do that. But basically, if you've already done that, then your phone is at risk of a bunch of other things before this Dolphin attack.
Right.
So the researchers are basically saying just don't leave your phone unlocked. Always have like a locking mechanism of any kind, even if it's like a fingerprint thing or even like a code. And don't give your assistants access to stuff like your digital payments.
What about if somebody had embedded this code in a song, for example, and that song happens to be playing at home whilst your digital assistant is sat there? Would that have the same kind of effect?
I guess that's what they'll need to test in their like their next level of testing. This is just when they were doing this, they just blasted the sample that was above 20,000 hertz, and the phones picked it up. So, but when the phones did pick it up, it was able to launch Siri, and then Siri was able to launch FaceTime video on the iPhone. On Android, they managed to command the Google Assistant to turn on airplane mode. And then they also managed to make the phone work, the in-car interfaces. It managed to use its voice controls and also manipulate the navigation system in the audio car.
What?
Yeah. So once they have
access,
can do anything. But getting the access is going to be a problem for anyone who's just basically locked their phone.
I mean, I know we've spoken about these personal and digital assistants for a while, but do you really use Siri or the version on Android or anything? Me neither.
No.
I mean, the occasional time that I've used it is Siri, tell me what flight is above my head right now, or you know, send a quick text message to such and such. But very rarely do I use it to its full potential, I would assume.
And I don't think it's good at picking up voices that aren't in its own accent.
Right.
Whenever I want to give it a command, I have to like change the way I speak and be like super clear. And I could just type out a message in the time that it takes to be that clear to this voice assistant. So
it gets frustrating, right?
Yeah. Mm.
Okay, folks, if you've got anything you want to say about this, if you're a little bit scared about the dolphin attack or anything related to that, do get in touch via WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Or, of course, you can get us on Twitter. We are at BFM Radio. Some music coming up from The Faces, followed by Madness. When we come back, we'll be talking about a coding school where every UK student funds a place for a woman to learn in India. Great little project. That's all coming up after these messages. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Because feelings matter. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9. So far, we've had stories about The Venture. If you're interested in that, you can maybe head over to their website, which is...
TheVenture.com, I think.
There you go. We've also had stories about smelly feet and how to a little robot dog...
Is tortured.
And then we had a story about dolphin attacks for personal computer assistants.
Yeah.
Now,
Dogs and dolphins.
Dogs and dolphins. Oh, wasn't there something? No, it was Whales and Dolphins, a song, wasn't it? Right. What's this story about coding then?
So this is a good combination of all the stories. It's technology, and it is a social enterprise, right? So this is 23 Code Street out from the UK. Anisa Osman Britton, right? So she decided not to go to Oxford or Cambridge and started this business, 23 Code Street. She's won a couple of awards. She's got the 2017 Precious Awards, which is out from the UK. And what she does is a coding school for women where every paying student funds a lesson for a disadvantaged student in India.
That's a great idea.
It is, right? So she's all 23, and even for the students in the UK, I think she has payment plans from 3 to 6 months to help women who struggle to pay the £1,500 for the 12-week course up front. What she does also is that he helps Muslim women out in the UK. She's got a co-founder, Tom Salmon, and they aim to help send between 10 and 15% of profits to India to help women in the slums gain computer skills. Now, her goal is that in the future they will get to learn coding, but I think at this point they just want to give women enough skills to get data entry jobs.
Right. Mm. So, did you ever have one of those horrible data entry jobs, either of you?
No.
Oh, my word. They are soul-sucking. But you know, they do really teach you, skills that you really need for later on in life, for IT skills, for example.
How long were you doing this?
I did it for about 3 months, I thought.
Good money?
It was.
Right.
Because you are literally sat in one position for the entire day, and you have they give you 50 or 60 sheets. Right, okay, you have 1 hour to do that. What?
Excel, right?
Yeah, all putting into Excel or SPSS, I think, was the other one as well. Mm-hmm.
Did it affect your eyes?
Probably. Mm-hmm. It affected my brain, I know that. Here I am in radio.
At BFM, nonetheless. Okay, so this is great. So she has, her parents helped, she herself has been around the world, and she's had several businesses, and she started her first company called Pocket MUni.com, and then she won the Young Entrepreneur Festival in 2012. She went on to start The Bakery, which is a company that pairs brands with tech startups, and that she worked out, what she was really passionate about was that the gender diversity problem in the tech world. So, I mean, this is a worldwide problem. And from there, what happened was she came up with a health app that was released. And it was just simple things. She said she realized that there was a health app that was released without a period tracker on it. And these are things that, a woman would want to know, right? And I actually have one of those. Right?
I mean, we talk about this all the time. First of all, gender diversity in tech. But once an entrepreneur, always an entrepreneur, I think. This is like her third or fourth project. What is it about people that get into that mindset that just want to do it continually over and over again?
I think you sort of go into one and realize that there's a problem, and then you start another one because based on another problem that you see. What I really liked is that she's used technology for these issues that we have in
actual problems
and clever use of technology. So now she's moved on to 23 Code Street. So really, really good kudos to her, and how I think this is an example of a good example for social enterprise. And someone gave me a very interesting terminology on how when with companies it's always profit with companies trying to do CSR is profit with purpose, but a social enterprise I guess is purpose with profit.
Right.
If you're interested in what 23 Code Street do, you can follow them on Twitter, actually. They are at 23 Code Street. You can find out more information about there. It'd be nice to have something like that here as well, you know, to be able to help people elsewhere. Get into the tech world.
I know that in Malaysia we have not so much technology, but helping people within the country. I think we also have enough challenges in this country, in Malaysia as well, where if you go for a course, you're actually bringing a friend who is from a household, Akasa, who is from a household that's below 3,000 or the B40. So you've got to bring a friend, you know, and you pay full and you bring a friend.
And they can learn at the same time as you do.
Yeah, it's not technology, they learn other things as
Great
well.
Idea.
I'm surprised that like more startups like this didn't show up in India itself, because India had this surge of IT professionals going everywhere around the world, I think like 10, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's,
that's
yeah,
true, yeah.
It's kind of weird. It would be nice if they had initiatives or startups. I don't know. I plead ignorance, so maybe they do.
There might be some that we haven't heard of.
Yeah, so but there's this whole bank of people that could be IT professionals as well who know coding. It would have been nice to know if there were like big startups in India itself that did this initiative as well.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we've got some music coming up first. Eric Clapton and a bit of Ocean Colour Scene. Final story of the day, though, why China can't get enough of QR codes. And of course, as usual on a Monday, some of the events that maybe you might want to check out this week. We'll be right back after these messages. BFM 89.9.
Breakfast for Masters. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Frida Liu.
And I'm Vinny Viraj.
We've had a tweet from our very own Majida Hashim. We were just talking about social enterprises and social enterprises in India. She's actually said there's a thriving social enterprise movement in India, but there's always room for more good in the world. To find out more, head over to thebetterindia.com.
Nice.
Isn't it nice that they're sat at home listening to our show?
Right. Thanks, yeah. Majida.
Thanks, Majida.
You owe us chili.
Oh, yes. Garlic chili. Bring it in, please. We're actually talking to her live on the radio. She's probably sat at home rolling her eyes right now. Anyway, final story of the day. Why China can't get enough of QR codes. When was the last time you used a QR code here?
Hardly.
Right?
Yeah.
I think the last time I did it was to activate WhatsApp on my laptop. That's probably the last time that I did it.
Mm-hmm.
So hundreds of millions of shoppers in China increasingly use their smartphones to buy everything from designer handbags to street snacks, and at the heart of the country's digital payment boom are QR codes. If you don't know what they are, they're two-dimensional images made up of a series of black and white squares. We've all seen them. In the US and Europe, it's short for quick response, but it never really took off over there. But now we're starting to see them popping up in a lot of the more social media apps. Snapchat, for example, Facebook, and Spotify have been pushing them, pushing users to scan barcodes to unlock new filters, add friends, or access playlists, that kind of thing, to kind of slowly get you into using them, because we know at some point there's going to be a big push. And I think the part of that reasoning is, if you look at anything that happens in China in terms of retail, even if it's like from LV all the way down to your local butcher's shop or even buying bread on the street, they're using these QR codes, you know, being pushed by Tencent and Alibaba. And there is so much money to be lost if you are not involved in this stuff. There's even beggars going around the streets of Beijing, no joke, with a QR code around their neck. Even brides at their weddings are now wearing QR codes hung around their neck instead of you handing them a red packet. Which is obviously is causing a bit of controversy because it's tradition. They're breaking away from tradition. But it's smart, if you ask me.
I guess. And it's funny, right? You talk about QR codes and how certain countries certain countries just love them, and and how some people don't. I know for the longest time BlackBerry, it was Indonesia, right?
Right.
That was the thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And how, you know, we died here anyway.
Yeah. BBM. Everybody was on BBM. What's your BBM code? What's your BBM code?
It's like, oh.
Yeah, what is BBM? That's what I was like for a longest time.
Yeah, what is BBM?
BlackBerry Messenger.
See?
We're showing our age now. Anyway, but you know, even stuff like putting a QR code on your business card, for example, has become a big thing in China. And what it does, you can scan this QR code and it will immediately take you to either your Facebook page or your own personal website just by that little snap.
Wow. Now,
are we going to see it here? I mean, I've seen a few.
Yeah.
But I don't know if we're going to
see... It hasn't sort of taken off.
It's not.
Off.
No, yeah. No.
No, but wasn't there like a big push for this like 5 years ago-ish? Like everything would have like a QR code on it. Like any... Even when you went to like the cafes and you got your coffee or like... The cups, the mugs would come like with a QR code for you to like check out their websites and stuff. And then right. they just faded.
I mean, the latest thing that I did see it on was the O-Bike.
Yes.
Did you see that?
Yes. Haven't been on one.
Unfortunately, they've been taken in by the police.
Oh, really?
Yes, because apparently they didn't have the correct licensing right now to have these O-bikes out on the road. But hopefully they'll sort that out, because I thought that was a great incentive, you know, to get people up and about and riding around and being a bit more healthy. Anyway, that's that. QR codes, then. The big thing happening over in China. We're not seeing them here yet. Maybe we should see a bit more of it, like Arvin says.
Maybe it's just faster to just click on your app and open it.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, instead of scanning on something.
But I think this is definitely that whole moving towards a cashless economy kind of thing, you know.
Mm.
If China can do it, you know, surely. Anyway, right. So we should probably tell you about some of the events that, if you're interested, you can have a look at this weekend. The first one I've got is Digital Transformations. Why is it so important? This is happening on Wednesday the 13th between 6:30 and 8:30 p.m. at Common Ground in Damansara Heights. So you can join Training Vision Institute as they share what the best practices are for companies adopting a digital transformation. They're a Skills Future Singapore accredited approved training organization. They partnered with universities for higher education programs, and the company has created a learning pathway and opportunities for individual learners. If you're a Common Ground member, it's 10 ringgit to attend. If you are not, it's 15 ringgit. It should be an interesting lecture, that one.
All right. The next event we've got is a Digital Marketing Professional Certification Program. It's happening on Thursday, September 14, 2017. It's from 1:30 to 4 p.m. At Filio Damansara 1. And there's an early bird bonus. There are free tickets. I think there are three left. Standard tickets are 97. I like the copy. Are you ready to become a highly paid, in-demand digital marketing professional in 5 weeks?
Rah.
This is the opportunity. And, you know, digital marketing is the future of marketing. It is not even the future. It is the market, you know, what we need right now. So if you're interested in that, you can, I guess, just do a search for the Digital Marketing Professional Certification Program.
Yeah, and then we also have this Brandker Innovation Number 3.
Brandker.
It's a disruptive branding and business model that's happening on September 14th. That's a Thursday. It starts at 6:30 in the evening. It should last up to like 9:30 at night. It's happening at H-Space in Bandar Utama, and tickets are 399 ringgit. So basically, the Brandker Innovation Series is all about debunking branding myths and introducing innovative perspectives on enhancing your business model. People who join will learn how to create a disruptive business model. They will also learn how can you make your brand disruptive to stand out from the current market competition. And they'll also have a live brand coaching session so people can come in with their questions ready. The whole thing will be conducted by Matthew Chong, who is an international branding and business coach. You can get more information at their Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Brandker Academy, or you can look them up on ptix.com.
All right, I think for all of the events that we just spoke about, you can check it out on ptix.com, right? Quickly, if you missed any part of the show so far, we'll run through very quickly the stories that we spoke about. Frida, do you want to start?
Yes, so we talked about the venture taking part. October 30th is the deadline.
We spoke about a Japanese company that's invented a sniffing robot dog to find out whether or not you have smelly feet.
That also faints if it's really
and
bad.
Faints and releases air freshener, yes.
Yeah. Then we also spoke about dolphin attacks, which is how you can hack into your smart assistants by using frequencies that are higher than human hearing.
And then we had a story out from the UK, and this is 23 Coat Street, which is a company started by a very young girl. She helps women, they help girls in India to learn computer skills.
Lovely. We then finished off with the demand for QR codes in China and how it's still on the rise over there. We're not quite seeing it here as of yet. Every now and again, I've seen a few. But, you know, there you go. Right.
Yeah, so coming up after this is the Breakfast Grill replay. So Law King Hui, who is the group managing director of Sasbadi Holding Berhad, was on the show this morning. Sasbadi Holdings first made their name publishing school textbooks in the 1980s. Today, as Sasbadi faces slower growth in its publishing business, it plans on strengthening its educational digital technology content as a way of moving forward. So group managing director Director Law King Hui spoke about the transitional move from traditional publishing to the digital content.
That's about it then for today. If you missed any part of the show, remember you can head over to the website and download the podcast, or you can listen on the app, which is available in the Apple App Store and, of course, in Google Play. Mm-hmm. We will be back tomorrow on Enterprise BizBite. Same time, same place, from deepest, darkest band at Atama. This is Phoenix with 1901 on BFM 89.9, the business station.